This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Medical News Network. We're about to speak with Glenn Kessler, who's the co-founder and managing partner of HCD Research in Flemington, New Jersey. Welcome to Utopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you.
Your group just did a survey about flu vaccine availability in the United States, and we're going to talk about it. But before we talk about the findings, let's talk about the methodology. How many people did you contact? How did you contact them, and what did you ask them?
We used a methodology which we use as part of our research for pharmaceutical companies. It's web-based. We have electronic addresses for about 450,000 physicians. We random sample within the primary care segment. We send an invitation and an offer to participate in a survey. Usually we pay an honoraria. In this case, we do a number of public interest polling among physicians, and they are kind enough to participate in our studies, public interest studies, at, without an honoraria. We send them a link, an ID number, they go online, they participate in a brief survey, and we record the data.
So you can do it pretty fast.
This launched last night around 6 p.m., and we have well over 600 responders at present.
And are those responders considered to be representative of the population from which they're drawn?
Yes, since virtually all physicians use the Internet, and since we have electronic addresses for most all of them, either a fax or an email, we're able to random sample, and they do represent the universe of physicians.
So you didn't send invitations out to 450,000 physicians?
No, we random sample within the 450,000. In this case, we went out to 7,000, for which about 650 have responded up to now. We reported the data at 600. But the nature of web-based studies are they keep on coming in unless you close them.
Right. So did you subdivide the 450,000 to only include primary care physicians?
Proportional numbers of primary care physicians, which for us included family physicians, internal medicine, OBGYNs, cardiologists, and oncologists. And we went out since oncologists and cards are primary care physicians for segments of patients. And we went out proportional numbers to the number of those physicians in those specialties.
Okay, and what I guess I'm trying to get to is whether the people who responded were representative of the class that you invited.
They were proportional.
Or did,
to the
or did you adjust? Did you adjust them? Did you adjust them in some way? So in other words, if only one OBGYN replied and you had 5%, you increased that count by five times.
In this case, we didn't. Typically, we have fill criteria when we're doing a project for a pharmaceutical company. In this case, we took proportional numbers of those specialties, went out, and took whatever came in. So we did not weight them as they came in based on specialty. We just weighted them based on the outbound recruiting.
Okay. And what did you ask them? What was the protocol?
Well, we asked them really four short questions. To begin with, we asked them on a scale of 1 to 5 to rate the seriousness of the medical crisis.
Right.
Relative to...
What kind of choices do they have?
They have no crisis,
right.
Slight crisis, moderate, significant, serious.
All right. And how did that break down in their responses?
No crisis, 5%.
Right.
Slight crisis, about 17%. Moderate crisis, about 29%. Significant, 35%. And serious is 14%.
And so the total that described it as serious or significant crisis were about how much?
I was looking at moderate, significant, and serious.
Okay.
But a significant and serious was about 50%.
What's the difference between significant and serious?
It's in the mind of the beholder.
Okay.
I would say since we, on a Likert scale, we put significant as less than serious,
right.
It's just weighted differently in someone's mind.
In fact, you could put significant above serious and you get the reverse figures.
That's correct. They're looking at both the title of the point on the scale,
right.
As well as the point. So we, in this case, put significant at 4 and serious at 5.
Have you considered saying just on a scale of 1 to 5, how bad do you think it is?
And you could do it that way.
Yeah.
But it is often helpful to put words around the level,
okay,
so that people can make it
right.
relative in their mind.
Did you find any correlation between the specialty and the degree of seriousness with
we did
which
not
they,
look
they
for
attached?
Correlations.
No, okay.
No, we would typically if we were exploring that, but we lumped primary care physicians as one
okay.
category.
Okay.
And looked at it that way.
All right. Now, you also report here in the email that I got that said approximately 60% reported that patients who normally do not ask for the flu shot are requesting the flu vaccination at this time. That means of those who normally don't ask for it, 60% have, or 60% of the doctors reported that some patients who hadn't in the past asked for flu shots are asking for it now.
Yes. So 60% of physicians are indicating that they're finding that at this time, people who don't normally ask for a flu shot
right.
are requesting it.
Right.
So that's not 60% of patients,
right.
but
60%
that of physicians are saying that people who they usually don't see for flu shots
right.
are coming by this year.
Right, because obviously it's given it a higher visibility, the question of vaccination, a higher visibility than
exactly.
it's ever had before. Now, I've been trying to find the answer to this, and I think it was kind of addressed by Tommy Thompson, the head of Health and Human Services yesterday, that the number of people in high-risk categories in the United States is about 85, 90 million people. But in the past, only about 50% of people who were in high-risk groups got vaccinated.
Right.
And that would mean that about 50 million people are in those groups and would likely get it. And that's about how much vaccine was produced, given that half of it wasn't produced, or it wasn't made available from Chiron. That means if normal patterns held true, everyone who's at high risk who normally asks for it would be able to get it.
Right.
But you've just said that the doctors say that there's more than half your respondents say more people are asking for it. What kind
that
of impact
correct.
did you follow up and find out from them on an anecdotal basis or an individual basis how they feel that's going to affect their practice?
We did not ask that.
Okay.
But we followed up with a question that asked them whether adequate quantities of the flu vaccine needed to inoculate patients would, based on recommended guidelines,
right.
whether they had enough vaccine.
And what'd you get?
And basically, we again used a Likert scale. And
tell us what that is. Spell it and tell us what that scale is.
Oh, Likert scale. It's Likert. Some people call it a Likert scale. Some a Likert scale.
Okay.
And it's just a continuum. That usually goes from low to high.
Right.
Some intensity of something.
Okay.
And in this case, we had a 5-point scale. The first point was that it's very easy to obtain, and 7.5% indicated that.
Right.
Somewhat easy, 8.5. Neither easy nor difficult, 10.5.
Right.
Somewhat difficult, 22%, and very difficult, 51%.
So the mode was very difficult.
So it was yes. So the well over 70% indicated that it was very difficult.
Okay.
It was very or somewhat difficult.
Okay. Did you then follow up and say ask what they were doing to get it, or what different methods they tried?
No, we did not.
Okay.
And typically, when we do public interest studies, since physicians are not being compensated, we are pretty much to the point.
Right.
But we did ask them a question that related to some of the noise around the political campaign.
Right.
And that was, we asked them how they felt the current presidential administration is handling the flu vaccine shortage.
And what did they say?
18% said adequately. 6.5% said somewhat adequately. Almost 12% said neither adequately nor inadequately, and the key was somewhat inadequately was 27%, and very inadequately was somewhat inadequately was 10%, very inadequately 27%, and not a political issue 27%.
So they didn't essentially. There was essentially no comment from them. They didn't want to comment. The question was, how's the current administration doing? And they said this is not a relevant issue. Or it's not a political issue.
About a quarter of them felt it was not a political
right.
issue.
But more than half anyway said that it was. And of those saying that it was, most of them said that the administration was doing a bad job. 60,
that's correct.
60% said that.
Yeah.
Okay, so those were the four questions. Those were the four answers. What did and as I think I gathered from what you were saying, you essentially gave them their choice on these four questions, and then that was it. You didn't ask for any anecdotal
no,
or follow-up or opinions, or you just in and out, get that done, and
that's correct.
That's what you found out. What implications do you draw from this survey result?
It's top of mind among physicians.
Right. That's a term of art. That's a polling term of art. What does it mean for everybody else? Top of mind.
Basically, that this is something that this week physicians are concerned with, and that they think that it's somewhat critical, and that they, I guess, an implication is that there's frustration, and
right.
they'd like to posit that frustration someplace,
right.
And that's suggestive by the fact that some other power, like the government,
right.
is responding inadequately.
Right. Okay. So now, who are your clients, or who are your clients in particular?
Our clients
for this?
Are pharmaceutical companies,
right?
Diagnostic companies,
right?
That's where the vast majority of our revenue comes from. So typically, we are doing advertising research, as well as we do a lot of pricing studies and so on. For the last 5 months, we've been very active in the testing the political advertising,
right.
As a way of showcasing our technology for testing commercials.
Right.
And so we were the folks who sort of showed the result of the Swift vote, the controversy about the Swift vote.
Right.
We basically were reported the effect of that.
Do you essentially go out and poll people who've seen it otherwise, or do you
no.
make it available on your website and say,
no,
here, look at it?
We send them a link.
Right.
We ask them questions.
Right.
And they then view the ad, and then we ask them follow-up questions.
So you stream the ad. You hold the ad on your server and stream
yes,
it to
we
them.
Do. It, we stream it, and as well as we use automated response systems.
What's
so
that?
As they watch the ad
right.
once, they use their mouse, moving it left and right,
right.
measuring interest, and then once again measuring believability.
Right.
And then we plot the curves in half-second intervals.
So you can do the same thing remotely and over a large population that people used to have to go into the studio for and twist little
yeah.
dials while they were watching something.
Yeah, we're usually testing 2,000 people in 48 hours.
Okay.
Using automated response systems.
And particularly your fourth finding here, that almost 60% of the physicians polled feel that the administration is doing a bad job or handling the situation inadequately. That's obviously something that the Kerry campaign would like to know about, not to mention, I guess, the Bush campaign, if it wants to deal with it. Is there a spillover between your political and medical surveys or clients so that the politicians will have access to this and be able to respond accordingly?
We do this in conjunction with Muhlenberg College.
Right.
And sometimes what we report is unpleasant for our client base.
Right.
And so we try to keep our public interest polling separate.
Is this part of your public interest poll?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So we are not selling this information.
You're just doing it to show off how good you are, essentially.
We're showing how smart we are.
Right.
And so we work very closely with the political science department at Muhlenberg College.
And they help you formulate questions for
They help us formulate questions, and they work with us to try to focus on issues that would be of importance.
Okay. Say a little bit more about HCD, the polling firm that's doing all this.
We consider ourselves a market research company.
Okay.
With our focus is on message and communications testing, as well as other typical market research projects that pharmaceutical companies will retain survey companies to do. So we're made up of market research analysts, computer programmers, web-based programmers, and industry folks who act as account executives. And we're typically working with companies to test advertising concepts, choice models on products of the future and product development. And most of our methodologies are web-based and allow us to do quantitative research as opposed to qualitative.
Okay. Are you a privately held company or publicly
yes.
traded company?
Yes. We're privately held. We are $6 million revenue and 30 people.
Okay. You have a website if people want to get more
yes.
information? What is it? What's the
yes,
URL?
Yes, we do. It's www.hcdi.net. And all of our public interest information is on another site.
Okay, what's that?
Which is www.readmylips, and lips is spelled with a Z, .com.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to say about this poll or your company?
No, that's it. Thank
you. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.